to cut away the wax, sealing the cork in place. Switching to the screw attachment on his Swiss Army knife, the old man successfully opened the bottle.
Now, this should really breathe for an hour. However, our circumstances being what they may, I think we can dispense with that custom just this once.
Napoleon brandy. Good stuff, eh?
Absolutely the best.
Mildred poured a splash into her cup. Crystal goblets were what they should be served in, but those were from another time, a different world.
Now don't gulp it down. Take small sips.
Ignoring the advice, Jack drained his cup in a shot, and his eyes sprang wide.
Damn!
Indeed, Mr. Lauren. Not even the genius of Tennyson could have better described 300-year-old Napoleon brandy.
Fucking grade A hooch.
Feeling the liquor beginning to ease her muscles, Mildred added another splash to her cup and raised it for a toast.
To absent friends.
Good toast. But we've got to do this right and give names.
Traitor.
My sweet Emily. And dear little Laurie.
Finn and Flynn. Rick and Michael.
Rona.
Christina and Jenny.
Mother Sonia.
Patty and Ellie, too.
Then Ryan stood and held his cup high above the eerie blue flame.
Lawrence.
Lawrence!
In the morning, the companions decided to delay exploring for the gateway and rest until they were all back on their feet. All of them were stiff and badly bruised from their recent battles. A few days later, refreshed and invigorated, the group exited the bank at dawn and quietly ride their purring bikes through the still streets. Their packs and bedrolls were strapped across the rear fenders, lessening the load of equipment each carried, and making driving a lot easier. The Metropolis looked exactly the same, but when they swung by the department store to check the sectroid, they found the remains of the machine were gone, and every window in the building was smashed, the sidewalks littered with torn merchandise. Parking the motorcycles a short distance from the store, Ryan and JB did a quick wreck of the structure, and found the interior had been completely trashed, clothing ripped to pieces, ceiling fixtures busted, display cases toppled over, and mirrors cracked.
This kind of destruction wasn't by some damned sectroid.
Ryan used the stire to touch a mutilated mannequin. There were teeth marks on the torso, and the head had been crushed into lumpy plaster.
Got to be an ape.
At least one. Jesus, what a shithole. Spiders, sectroids, and now the fucking apes.
This is clearly a bad spot to get trapped.
Agreed. Let's go.
Staying alert, the two men took turns covering each other, one walking while the other stood still, until they backed out of the store into the sunny street. Even then, the men didn't holster their blasters until among the other companions.
Hunters are here.
Ryan climbed onto his machine. Tucking the stire into a gun boot strapped to the frame, he twisted the throttle and the big engine kicked into life.
Robots and gorillas. Behold the Alpha and the Omega.
Think they're hiding on the rooftops?
Dean craned his neck to look skyward. Nothing was visible above them, except for the patchy clouds, irregular breaks in the storm layer, giving brief glimpses of azure blue behind the fiery rads and chems.
More likely they're in that park we passed. Animals always return to the familiar, and that's the only greenery we've seen so far on this mesa.
Avoid there!
Jack was sitting on the handlebars in front of Doc. Experimentally, the teenager spread his legs to stand over the bike, and was pleased with the lack of pain from his ankle. Mildred was right. He needed only a couple days soaking in hot water. Damn odd way to heal an injury. Just then, a window slammed shut, and something came off the ledge. The companions crouched and opened fire, blowing the plummeting object into dirty shards. The remains of the flower pot crashing onto the back seat of a powder blue convertible parked at the curb.
Could have been the wind.
Maybe.
Not gonna take the chance. Let's get out of here and find someplace where we can talk. Start moving.
Traveling a few blocks, they took a corner and braked to a halt in the middle of a deserted intersection. The location gave them a clear field of fire in every direction, and they could see anything coming their way long before it arrived.
Okay, people. Before we go hunting for the gateway, we better get more supplies. Shine's a priority.
And additional ammo. Only a couple of rounds for my Webley and about the same for the Smith.
Here, Christy, I'm fine. Still have 18 rounds for the Weatherby.
Thanks, Dean.
No prob.
Watch for bars, taverns, any place with booze. And stay sharp. We're gonna need a lot more than a fistful of ammo to stop another sectroid.
Keeping to the middle of the streets, the companions began driving a spiral pattern around the city blocks, slowly expanding the area covered until finding a liquor store in the middle of a street lined with outdoor restaurants. The front door was unlocked.
Open for business.
They raided the shelves and storage room, obtaining enough vodka to fill their tanks. Always on the prowl, JB found a double-barreled shotgun hidden under the counter, but the weapon was empty and no ammo anywhere. Some peaceful shopkeeper intended to use it as a prop to scare away robbers.
And look where that got you, you triple-stoop bastard.
On the way out, Ryan paused to break open the cash register and check the money in the till. He carefully scanned the bills, then he tossed the paper aside and departed with the others, leaving the register drawer open for the insects and mice to harvest as bedding for their nests. Christy noticed him inspecting the money and nodded. None of the payphones on the sidewalks had a Yellow Pages, only a short chain attached to ragged pieces of faded paper. But a nearby video store had a phone book behind the counter, and Ryan carefully turned the brittle pages to search for the address of a gun shop. Strangely, there were no listings for military supplies or gunsmiths, only a sporting goods store, which they determined was located a couple of blocks to the east. Arriving at the location, five of them stayed astride their bikes at an intersection to stand guard, while Ryan and JB walked along the middle of the street. The dark shops were lined with dead neon signs, placards in the windows announcing January sales. A few cars dotted the curb, and a police sedan was parked at a sharp angle in front of a sleek roadster, but immutable time had reduced both cop and criminal to powdery bones on the black asphalt. The sporting goods store was closed, an iron grill in place across its window and door. Normally that wasn't a problem, but unfortunately there was a broken key jammed in the lock of the grating. JB tried for a while.
This is hopeless. We need plastique.
Holding their small supply of C4 in reserve, Ryan checked the pawn shop across the street, the classic three brass balls hanging from a post announcing the honored profession. Pawn shops often carried weapons and ammo. The main window was coated with black paint on the inside, making it impossible to see if there were any blasters on display. Were the owners trying to hide from the rampaging mobs? But this city had died at the instant of Skydark, and there'd never been any crowd of starving people to loot the stores. But luck was on their side. The steel grating before the establishment was drawn aside, and JB easily picked the lock. Taking the point position, Ryan started to open the door, when he stepped on something hard. He instantly froze. Only recently he'd encountered a landmine, and since then he was extremely wary of stepping on anything. His heart pounding, the man glanced at the sidewalk, and slowly tilted his boot to see underneath. The lump proved to be only a small blob of congealed silvery metal on the concrete. As the puzzled warrior glanced around, he noticed the source of the steel puddle, and felt cold adrenaline flood his body.
Hey, Albert! Get the bikes over here so we can load them easier.
Caught by surprise, the startled companions looked hastily around for the source of the danger. When the companions were already together, if any of them used a name that began with A, that meant they were in an ambush.
Push your own damn bike. That ain't my job.
Come on, Adam. Sooner we start, the sooner we're done.
Yeah, I hear you.
JB ambled along the street until reaching the intersection.
What's wrong, Ryan?
He and Ryan climbed onto the bikes.
Droids, it's a trap. We have to get out of here fast.
Making as little fuss as possible, the companions rolled away on their bikes, while nervously watching the pawn shop until they were a good block distant.
Far enough. I want y'all to see what we almost walked into.
Tripwire?
A lot worse than that. Going for the door, I stepped on some congealed steel. Seemed odd, so I looked around. There's a reason why the grating of the pawn shop was open. To chill us. Damn near succeeded, too.
Those crafty bastards. Look at that.
Pulling out the telescope, JB located the store and scanned its front, searching for something subtle he had missed before. The man spotted it when he came to the lock on the open grating.
Dark night.
The mechanism was gone. There was only a smooth hole in the grating where the lock should have been. The surrounding metal discolored from severe heat.
That was done with a laser. A droid's in that store, waiting for us. Maybe more.
I wager the machines also placed the broken key in the lock of the sporting goods store to divert us to their trap.
Tricky. Okay, what do?
Last time it...